Underwood, Thin Ice. To smoke some weed and shut up. My God.
Oh, I thought for sure.
There it is. Boom!
Yes! Okay. I wanted to be silent for like 10 seconds, but I won't do that. I won't do that to everybody. I won't. I'm not going to do that. Illini Basketball Podcast, episode 201. Armchairlina.com. You can check out all their stuff, all the articles, all that good stuff. It is February 20-something, 23rd, I want to say. 2024. Illinois coming off of a loss to Penn State, 90-89. There's a lot that's going to be discussed today, a lot of things that are going to go down. And, you know, I think people need – I hope everybody's taking a step back. You know, you got to take a step back. It's always – and I understand the irrational fan thing that a lot of people have. I don't know.
Like going on a 20-second F-bomb rant after the loss or
– That is what we call heat of the moment, and I think it's totally unfair for you to pretend otherwise, but that's all right. And it's not like – I mean, people were going after me too, to be fair. So I didn't do that out of nowhere. And I made a 5-minute video on Twitter – that night, discussed my thoughts, said I wasn't going to apologize for what I said to people in the watch party chat, but maybe I went too far. I don't know. I don't think I did. I mean, I think it was totally
fine. I was in the bathroom, so I honestly don't know what you said. I just knew that it was an F word, every other word.
I don't know what I said either, to be honest, but you know, that's one of those things. All right, we're going to do this a little differently, but before we get into the players' performances and the show notes for today are really just, you know, not very good. So
we got a lot of stats. Good work.
I did the numbers.
Guys, Ethan put in the work on this one. I didn't do anything. So
I want credit for that. Can somebody write that down?
We'll make sure we put it in the description afterwards.
Yeah. So I went back and I watched the final 6 minutes of this game. And I took a note for pretty much every play, like every play on the Illinois defensive side. I did a couple offensive notes for Illinois, especially late. There were a couple that I skipped. A lot of it was just Shannon driving. So I think a lot of people look back at this game and they think that Illinois defensively was just awful down the stretch. I think there were a lot of sequences where they were, but I also think Penn State was doing a really good job of getting the matchups that they wanted and some shots that don't normally fell. And I think that's what happens when you have to play in this magical wonderland called the Rec Hall that sits 65 people and just sucks.
And that you can't even sell out.
Which, I mean, I know it's within the rules to be able to do that, but I think it's BS.
Yeah, I think Brad made a comment about he wished they were in the other place. But
I said it before the game. It's not an excuse, but, you know, it was on the radar early.
Right.
And conveniently, they're playing tomorrow or Sunday at the other place. So they're playing who are they playing? Indiana tomorrow. So great. Good for them. So let's start. So the first play that I watched was Harmon passing up a three and then Hawkins hitting a three, made it 78-70. That was 6:08. So you go to the next possession and you have Goody getting switched on to Baldwin, which happened multiple times.
A lot.
He did a good job, kind of forced him to the outside, missed layup. Okay, so that's a good job by Goody, 550. Go to 535, Goody gets switched on to Nick Kern. Help D on the drive, Hawkins blocks it. So that was good.
Yeah.
Get the help D the other side.
Nick Kern got like six layups in a row at one point.
Like mid-second half.
It didn't matter who was guarding him either. And people want to say that Goody was on him the whole time. No, they switched
that's,
off.
That's back-to-back defensive possessions where Goody did a good job.
Yeah.
After getting switched on to Baldwin, then getting switched on to Kern. The rebound is Shannon in transition for a layup. It's 82-70 at this point. So you get to 5:09. Goody gets switched on to Baldwin. Harmon and Shannon got caught behind screeners, and Hicks made a three. That was actually pretty well contested. Shannon, like, got back and kind of put it. It was a little bit of a delayed hand in the face, but it was a hand in the face, just a good shot. That's 82-73. Then after that, 450 of the play where Damask dribbled his off of his foot. I watched that. Definitely went off of his foot. Went flying into the stands. You thought it was tipped live, but that he dribbled off his own foot. Which
the way it flew, I mean, shocked. That thing was like he kicked it.
He was dribbling hard. 4:35, Goody switched on to Baldwin. So that's four possessions in a row where Goody gets switched on to Baldwin or Kern. He gets switched on to Baldwin. Baldwin gives it to Kern. Kern goes baseline and just a super ticky-tack call.
Touch foul. When they were letting Ace Baldwin just harass Damask the whole game, and then they called a couple ticky-tack ones down the stretch. I don't think he made the free throw, though, did he?
He missed the free throw. So then you get to 4:09. Later on the Illini possession, Damask drives into the body and misses a good look at the rim. I think a lot of people might have said that was a foul. He was pretty straight up. I don't think that was a foul. That was just a shot that Damask probably makes 80% of the time, and he missed it there. 3:43, next possession. Great work by Goody on Hicks to force a tough layup. Missed. So another good possession by Goody. 3:30, Shannon got fouled. Two free throws, makes them both, 84-73. 3:13. Jameel Brown goes to the lane, just pushes full extension off of Damask. Goody helped D. They're both in his face, even though he got the extension. So he got the shot off, made it 84-75. 2:59, Damask turnover off of pressure by Baldwin, and then Brown missed a three. So on the rebound, Shannon gets fouled. Shannon misses the front end of a free throw. 2:46. Next Penn State possession, Harmon gets absolutely cooked backdoor for an easy layup, 84-77. Harmon just completely just not even aware of what's going on in that.
That happened multiple times.
It's happened multiple times for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
2:30, Shannon and one makes it 87-77. Then Rogers comes in for Harmon. So I almost feel like I wasn't even watching the game because I felt like Rogers never even played at the end, but he did.
Yeah, I remember him getting back in.
I barely remember that. 2:19, Hicks turns on the brakes on a drive and scores from about 5 feet on Goody. I mean, that was just another good play. Hicks is averaging 15.5 over his last five games and is 6'9", and went to Temple and can score. I don't think any Illinois defender is going to stop that.
Yeah.
Goody, 2:03, 16 seconds later, misses the three in transition. I mean, there's a lot of debate as to whether he should have taken that or not. I mean, the other time he did it earlier in the game, he made it. So, yeah. I don't know. It was a really good look.
Yeah, I don't hate the shot from him there. I know that a lot of people hated it, thought he should have ran another 20 seconds off the clock. But, man, regardless, you're up 7 with 35 seconds left. I don't think that shot played as big a role as
well. I think the people that think that is because 13 seconds later, Rogers falls for a pump fake and Hicks hits a three, 87-82.
Yeah.
So that gets down to 5. Damask got fouled at 1:15, made two free throws, 89-82. Illinois wouldn't score again for the final 1:15. Baldwin missed a three. Shannon got drilled on the rebound, no call. That's not the first time he's going to get hammered with no call.
Yeah.
Because it happened there. 43 seconds, Shannon misses a runner. 7 seconds left on the shot clock when he took it. Brown beats Hawkins for the loose ball. Then somehow Penn State had like a 3-on-1 or a 4-on-1 in transition. I don't know where everybody's at, but Damask vacated the shooter and Brown made a three, made it 89-85. So Damask is in a tough spot there because he's pretty much by himself.
Yeah.
So I think he should still stay with the shooter and let them have the two if he's going to pass it. But
sure.
I don't know. It's a tough spot. Then Penn State called a timeout. 32 seconds. Inbound. Shannon gets swiped. No foul call. Penn State steals it.
Literally layup. Got his whole left arm grabbed.
Yeah. 89-87. No Illinois timeout. Damask doubled in the corner. 27 seconds. Illinois timeout. And then Hawkins. Hawkins, by the way, I have to say that was 100% a travel.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't even think it was a foul until after he traveled. So Illinois got lucky there. And then the ball didn't lie because he missed both free throws.
Yeah.
But I think Hawkins absolutely traveled in that spot with 18 seconds left. Then 4 seconds left, Hawkins, another bad sequence. He fouls Hicks in the three. It seemed like he lost his balance and just bumped right into the side. Like that was just a tough play. It was definitely a foul. I mean, that's tough. And then a guy who was 2 for 4 from the line to that point, 75% of the season, makes all three, and it's 90-89. And then you have Harmon, runner in transition. I mean, that's like a 60-40 shot for him, it seems, and he misses it. Yeah. Good defense by Penn State, and Illinois loses 90-89. I I think you got to give Penn State a ton of credit for how they closed, but Illinois has still, the late game issues have been apparent in multiple games. So that's really why it's a big deal.
Yeah. And I mean, Brad said that he was going away from the five switching. He did it last game and then he went right back to it to close this game out. Like you said, they got any matchup they wanted. That's what teams have been able to do to Illinois offensively. Just, you know, switch the guy you want guarding you and take advantage of them. And that's
the four possessions. The four possessions for Penn State on offense from 550 to 435 had Goody switched on to Baldwin three times and Kern once.
Yeah.
Just alone, those possessions.
Yeah. And then, I mean, he gave up three wide open layups on the exact same blob play. Just mistake after mistake.
For how bad
how you lose this game.
For how much people have gone after Luke Goody over the last couple of weeks, I would have been willing to make him player of the game for this game. I thought he was great in this game. In a lot of different areas with like what they're asking him to do. I mean, he made three threes at five rebounds. I thought phenomenal game for Goody.
Yeah. And if he goes 4 or 5 instead of 3 or 5 from three, Illinois wins the game. So maybe. All right, we got all kinds of comments. We'll go through these before we go to our player of the game. I'm sure you guys will be shocked who it is. Warner, what's going on? I can't decide what's worse, our defense or our late game offense. Both are atrocious. I mean, play better defense, you win. So I don't know. What's more fixable, our defense or late game offense? I know you said the offense wasn't bad. So...
outside of a couple of plays, like they get a lot of the looks they want, like every time.
Yeah. Warner also says, feels like our defense is what it is, but we can clean up our offense in a close game, in my opinion.
There also aren't a lot of teams in the country that have a guard that's as good defensively like, as Ace Baldwin.
Like Ace Baldwin, yeah, that is just going to, you know, steal balls. He swiped three away from Coleman as Coleman tried to go to the hoop. I don't know how many steals they had him for. But it seemed like he had 15.
Two. But they had 11 as a team.
Yeah. Bootzilla, what's going on? Jeffrey says both are fixable, but I'm not sure Underwood can be that guy. Warner, Underwood told us this team is really good, Jeffrey. Jay, what's going on? This team is elite.
I mean, if you don't think this team is good, like what are we even doing here? Like it's so stupid.
Jeffrey, I took 10 steps back. Come back to the same thoughts.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for letting us know.
Eric, what's going on? Goody didn't play bad. I agree. I don't think Goody had a bad game. Jay says Goody was Illinois' best defender in the game. That's how bad everyone else played defense.
I thought Shannon was pretty normal.
Shannon's Shannon, but apparently we can't ride Shannon.
I mean, I cannot believe there are people on the internet and they're Purdue fans that think that Braden Smith should be first team all Big Ten over Terrence Shannon. That is literally the most insane thing. Put him in there over Tyson Walker. That's the move. Or Jameer Young. Like Terrence Shannon, I think right now is the second best player in the country.
Yeah.
Look at the numbers he's putting up. I don't care.
Absolutely playing like that.
The team is 2-2 in their last four, and Shannon has gone 27, 31, 28, 35. And he's not even shooting it that well. Outside of the Michigan game, he hasn't been making threes the same way that he was earlier before the Fairleigh Dickinson game, which is where he was gone for six games. But, like, he's getting in transition. He's completely unstoppable in those spots. He's making a lot of shots at the rim. He's getting to the free throw line because a player like that, you can't stop him. You have to foul him. Like, that's what it is. Like, people can say, oh, he shoots 15 free throws a game. He's 6'6", 200, and he's, like, the fastest player in the country in transition. So, like... it's insane to me that people think TSJ isn't the second best player in the country because he is.
I agree. Jay says they need to clean up the switches on D and get rid of Hawkins camping down low on D. Yeah, I don't know if they're – it seems like they're going back to five-way switching.
Brad needs to trust – he needs to say, okay, I have Rodgers, I have Shannon. Let those guys just take somebody out of a game.
Yeah,
figure the rest out. I don't know why it's so hard to figure out to just do that because they did that against Maryland, and the defense worked pretty well.
Yeah, we got some differing opinions. Eric says he's got to shoot that. He's open, talking about Goody. It's a good shot. And then Jay immediately says, Goody shouldn't have taken the shot, especially with 20 plus seconds on the shot clock. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I'm fine with him taking that shot. Again, that's not what lost the game. I don't care. Jay, this team just doesn't have the knockout punch to put a team away. Don't know if they get too passive on offense or what. Warner, Jay, drop D with Coleman is a losing strategy. And they just kept running him into Coleman. And again, Brad said that he was done doing that. Tommy says the fans got to Hawkins. Disagree. Hawkins didn't travel. He got hit in the face first for a foul, which caused him to travel.
I'd have to go back and look at it again while thinking about that, I guess.
Jeffrey says clock management, defensive rotation, game flow management, player minutes are all major issues.
Minutes, I think there's something to that just because Ty only played 16.
Yeah. He was in foul trouble.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, game flow management is a problem whenever you have – when you're just asking Damask to do it by himself most of the game and then just keep doing it. Like, this team should easily be able to break a press against just about anybody. Remember when Brad against Missouri said he was begging them to press?
Yeah.
Like, this team should have zero issues breaking a press.
I don't want, like, just when it's repetitive, you know, ace balls when guarding Damask, you have to figure something else out. I don't get that. David, I had a weird feeling about the game with about 5 minutes left. It was like watching a full episode of just waiting for Ethan to yell at Jeffrey.
Yeah,
Eric says no way TSJ is better than Brandon Smith.
He's probably not better than Brandon Smith.
Yeah. Shannon is way better than Brandon Smith.
Maybe he is.
Jeffrey, we got to hear how this team got to have a Brad practice today. Sounds like last year starting over again.
I think a lot of the guys on this year's team can take it
more
than last year, but maybe we're wrong. I don't know.
Hinkle said, Brad said today he and the team didn't watch a minute of game footage. I don't know how I feel about that. I saw that.
The issues are the exact same they've been the whole time. I hope they'd know them by now.
That's kind of what he said. So, a TSJ is better than Brandon Smith.
What's the solution in your mind to the turnovers in the backcourt?
That is a tough question.
Playing a team that doesn't have Ace Baldwin, that could be one.
Trust the guy that you said you trusted to be your point guard all year?
Yeah, I guess the only issue with that is that when there's 6 minutes left, he's not going to have Ty in with four fouls. But
right. But even when Ty was in, it's still Damask bringing the ball up. The thing is, you can't have Shannon bring the ball up because he's just as bad.
I thought that this team was going to play with more pace, you know? I think they missed Quincy. I think they missed Quincy a little bit in the press break. I think they could really use him.
Yeah. Getting it to Coleman and letting him pass over people would probably be better too.
Yeah.
But I don't think Coleman – I mean, I think that they probably would have just moved Ace Baldwin on to whoever the guy bringing the ball up was. I think people have learned that you can pressure Illinois and it's going to be a shit show. So, all right. Player of the game, Terrence Shannon Jr. I think it's your fourth time. He's been unstoppable these last four games. 38 minutes, 10 for 18, 2 for 7 from 3, 13 of 19 from the line. Wish he would have made a couple and Illinois wins this, but he had 35 points, I believe, a career high, 11 rebounds. Wow. I did not realize he had 11 boards, one block, one steal, four turnovers for Terrence. The team turned the ball over religiously in this game,
which really numbers wise hasn't been much of an issue a lot of the season. There's not a lot of games where they're turning the ball over this much. So I think it once again, I think it's a lot of what Penn State was doing.
Yeah. I mean, they had a plan. And like you said, Penn State hit shots early and they hit shots late. And that's kind of what won them the game. Warner says, can't leave DeMasc alone back there. Too often people weren't coming to the ball. Yeah, and I've never seen a guy jump in the air at three-quarter court, half court, more times than I saw DeMasc do the other night. I don't know what that is. All you're doing is screwing yourself. Eric says Ty should bring the ball up. He's the point guard. Yeah. Like Ethan said, he was in foul trouble. So
can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
Based on this comment here, I agree. I think Ty Rogers might play 30 minutes on Saturday tomorrow. I can see it. I know Iowa has a lot of size, but I like the matchup if he's guarding Dix or Perkins. Like it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know in what world Ty Rogers has four fouls in this game and Ace Baldwin has one.
Yeah.
It's insane. Jay says, can Harris pull his red shirt? Could use a guy to be a pest on opposing team's point guards and depth on the bench. I don't think that's going to happen, but
next year will be fun.
All right.
Have fun with next year's offense is going to suck, by the way.
It's true. You never know. Brad will do something. Hawkins, 33 minutes, 3 for 11, 3 for 7 from 3. 0 for 2 from the line. Two huge ones that he missed. 9 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. 5 turnovers for Coleman. Tried to go to the rim a lot this game. Not his game. Penn State's guards just popped it out. Few times he had that terrible, he tried to like bump it to DeMasc in the corner and basically put it four rows up in the bleachers. This was probably Coleman's worst game he's had since last year, I would say.
He still shot it pretty well, I have to say.
Yeah, 3 for 7 from three is nice. But
other than that, he was terrible.
Yeah. Can't do anything in the paint. And, you know, You can't go on a troll fest on Twitter and then back it up with this, Coleman. Come on, buddy. Got to be better than this. So, Ty, 16 minutes, 3 for 3, 6.7 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds. I believe he had the team's, like, first 5 rebounds in this game. 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover. Good game from Ty.
Thought he was good.
Getting foul trouble. That's kind of the thing. Quincy's got to find himself. Quincy, 15 minutes, 2 for 3, 1 for 1 from 3, 0 for 1 from the line, 5 points, 4 rebounds, and assist a turnover. And
he's hurt.
You think?
Well, he's got the wrap on his thumb or whatever, plus he already had a wrist issue. He did hammer a 3-and-1 in the first half.
Nice. I mean, I assume Brad just – trust the other guys on defense over him late game?
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised if the lineup changes soon. Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah? Who do you think starts?
Harmon
starts or Goody starts?
I can see him throwing Luke back in the mix, pissing people off. Probably not, though. I think it'll probably stay the same, but it wouldn't be surprised in the next couple weeks if it maybe changes a little bit.
Changes. I mean, he basically threatened people's playing time in the
that is true
in the post game and in the preview interviews he had today. Jeffrey
maybe,
says
maybe he goes nuclear and goes DGL Harmon Goody Danger Hansberry starting five.
Danger gets to play like a minute and a half and gets benched the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Jeff says, some guys are playing too much. When you're tired, you make bad choices. You don't come back for the ball. You get lazy on screens. You don't move the ball as well. Eric says, throw DGL in the starting lineup.
Well, DGL was fine in this game, but he just can't shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, his defensive intensity is really good. Also, Coleman needs to stop complaining to the refs. Get back on defense. He did that 3 times this game and just kind of let Penn State do whatever they wanted. Off the bench, Harmon, 24 minutes, 1 for 4, 2 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover. It's not a great line for 24 minutes.
Nope.
Goody, 22 minutes, 3 for 5 from 3, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 1 turnover. I thought Goody had a good game. People, like I said, people are going to complain about that shot. I'm okay with it.
I thought Goody was great.
Indy says more DGL, more Hansberry.
No. I mean, they both played 6 minutes. How much more do you want? They're freshmen. No.
Embrot says the freshman for Iowa is going to cause us big problems.
I mentioned him the other day. It's, yeah.
Harmon has to be better. Yeah. Yeah, Harmon, I don't know. He just...
I hate Harmon playing 24 minutes and not shooting a three.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Yeah, that's true. Dane, 2 minutes, 0 for 1, 2 for 2 from the line, 2 points, 1 turnover. Dane got his 2 minute run and benched.
Made both free throws, though. How about that?
He did. Hansberry, 6 minutes, 2 for 3, 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 offensive boards, 2 fouls.
But Hansberry was good, yeah.
DGL, 6 minutes, 1 for 3, 0 for 2 from 3, 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 foul.
Yeah, can't shoot. That 1-3, both threes were long. The second one was very long.
His make was a take to the basket, right?
Yeah, yeah, very was, nice. Good finish throw.
And then, I mean, that's what I do.
You do that with everything. I mean, you everybody. Do that with Goody threes. I mean, Goody wide open in the corner. You're like, no.
I know the head fake. I know the head fake.
He drilled it.
And then he, right, yeah. But I think he missed the second time he tried doing that. So,
yeah, so what? That
was 1 for 2. Jeffrey says, and WTF is with the inbounds plays on both sides of the ball. Brad is the worst up of plays ever.
I will say Penn State's blobs were pretty sick. So
yeah, maybe Brad can steal one of those.
Was the defense, you know?
Bootzilla says we're all asking that question. Yeah,
oh, now everybody's agreeing with Jeffrey for the first time ever. Okay.
I agree. They have to fix the inbounds plays. Yeah, that's kind of been a thing since the beginning of Brad's time. So I don't know. Sucks. Other notes and quotes. I don't know how to read splits. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. Illinois shot 48.4 from the field, 37.5 from three, 66.7 from the free throw line, 31 of 64 from the field, 9 of 24 from three. 18 of 27 from the free throw line. They out-rebounded Penn State 49-25. They had 18 turnovers, 17 fouls, 15 assists. I think they need to be more aggressive defensively and turn teams over. They don't turn anybody over at all.
They don't, yeah. Yeah.
They're 360th right now in turnover percentage defensively.
Yeah, and I think, you know, why Ace Ball, again, he's small, but that's his intensity from the outset. If you play like that, refs are going to be a little bit more lenient on you. And Illinois doesn't have anybody that can do that. I'm afraid they might get burnt a lot if they try doing that too. But
they already get burnt anyway.
That's true.
If this team could get turnovers and get out in transition, like they would put up 115 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the two teams in the country that are worse at turnover percentage defensively are South Dakota, who's 10-18 and 3-10 in the Summit, and then Creighton is last in the country.
Really?
They're 20-7, 11-5 in the Big East. However, you know, they forced 9 turnovers against UConn in a win. They forced 11 against Butler in a win. You know, they seem to be getting better at it, but either way, they're last. So Illinois better figure it out.
Bootsill says stop having Harmon inbound the ball late game too. I believe he inbounded it and then he didn't. After DeMass called the timeout, I think somebody else threw it in. What about Hawkins inbounding the ball?
No.
He's the best. He sees passes.
But I think you want a 6'10 guy out there to catch something.
To throw it up, too.
I was thinking have Hawkins.
If they could set a screen, guys would get open.
Have Hawkins stay in and bring Guerrier in to inbound it. Why not? Somebody that can see over somebody.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at.
But Hawkins is the biggest guy you want
to. Yeah, you got to be able to throw it up to him because we don't run blobs that actually.
He might volleyball spike it into the fourth row, but he's got the height.
Wade said, I heard glass was broken in the Illinois locker room at Penn State. I'm glad to hear it because someone needs to get pissed and take some pride on defense. Yeah, I've listened to a little bit of Brad's after the game stuff. I mean, I think Illinois knows they lost this game. They gave it away and. The only thing you can hope is that it, you know, burns the fire under their ass and they stop choking games away.
It's probably Shannon because he put up 35 and 11 in a loss.
In a loss. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Jeff says, what are the top five teams on fast break offense in the country, Ethan? Do you have that number?
I'd have to dig for that number a little bit. I'll dig. Go ahead.
Oh. Penn State shot 54%, 44% from three. Jeez. 60% from the line. They had 11 steals and six blocks. You got Wahab in foul trouble in this game, but it really didn't matter. Nick Kern goes 10 for 17 for 22 points. Ace Baldwin, not efficient shooting, 3 for 12, but he had 12 assists. Kind of tough. So, yeah, Nick Kern literally got to the rim, I want to say, five times in a row. And Goody was on him once. Harmon was on him once. They kind of put everybody on him, and he still found a way to get there. So,
yeah. It's tough.
Imbrot says, I think about what Damask having to call timeouts so we didn't have one did to the end of the game. Yeah, you can't catch the ball there. Where Damask caught that ball was not a good spot. Again, if Shannon, you know, if they call the foul where Shannon literally gets his arm grabbed, he goes and knocks down a couple free throws and the game might be put away. So Jay says Illinois needs a Chris Street type to defend the inbounds pass. TSJ a couple times just stood there and let the pass go right by him. This team just seems like they get lazy at times, and I don't understand it.
Brad, so
gonna fix that though.
I don't have access to any numbers that would be fast break numbers, but I do have pace numbers. So the top offenses that are actually good in efficiency and play a fast pace would be New Mexico, Alabama, Arizona, Kentucky, Iowa are the ones that stick out that are like good efficiency offenses that play with a ton of pace. Because the top pace teams in the country, Western Kentucky is 211th in offense, and they're the fastest. VMI is one of the worst teams in the country, and they're 4-24, and they're second in tempo and pace. So, yeah, I think this team needs to do more of that. They're currently 59th. And it's not, there's no really exact stat for it. It's just based on the possessions per 40 minutes, and which would determine, you know, how short your possessions are. Illinois maybe should start running a 7 seconds or less Mike D'Antoni offense. You know, next year would be fun, but have Ty Rogers pull up for three, stuff like that. Probably need an actual point guard to do that. So maybe we'll go to the portal for that. But yeah, Illinois, from a metrics perspective, things got worse defensively. I think they've dropped 19 spots defensively in the last 2 weeks. So the offense is getting better, though. That's why I tweeted the other night, the offense is so sick. Really is.
It is. Defense Which sucks.
I would much rather be a team that people think should be better, but they're 10-5 in the Big Ten, and they have a sick offense, rather than being a team that has a terrible offense and a good defense. That's just me.
Are we like Iowa, but more athletic?
Better defensively than Iowa.
Okay.
Even yeah. Iowa's best teams. I mean, maybe outside of a couple.
Wade says Coleman needs to spend less time on social media. His head wasn't right all game, especially at the end. With those missed free throws and game-losing fouls, you can't foul there. Inexcusable. Yeah, you can't foul there. He seemed to – on a lot of those turnovers, it seemed like he thought he got slapped on the arm, sat there and told the refs about it instead of going back and playing defense. You just can't have that. You can't have that and, you know, win important games or win down the stretch. So – Eric says, don't say we're like Iowa, please. Jeffrey said he asked because I think we're getting tired at the end of the games and wanted to compare benches and the teams and teams.
Yeah, I mean,
defense is easier to fix.
I think the usage has been lower for guys like Coleman and Shannon, especially Shannon because he missed so many games, but I don't know. I don't know. Just a bad loss, weird loss, bad game, poor performance, not good enough, not up to the standard. Probably a game you win 9 times out of 10 if you don't make stupid mistakes and make your free throws, but
yeah,
such is life. At DJ Wags on Twitter with two S's, put, quote, Illinois is getting absolutely nuked in the paint in conference play, allowing 51% of their opponents' points to come in the paint, which ranks in the first percentile via CBB analytics. Absolutely terrible defensive rating over the last 5 games as well. So pretty much stuff we already knew.
Yeah. Coleman's a good defender, but he's just not a big guy that you're scared of, I don't think.
Like, now we get to play Iowa, who is 16th in the country in two-point distribution. Great. Fantastic. At least it's at home,
right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. All right, Illinois, number 12, it's going to drop. They're 19-7 overall, 10-5 in the Big Ten. Home for Iowa tomorrow, 16-11. 8-8 is Iowa. Saturday, tomorrow, 1:15 Central, Big Ten Network. Got to bounce back.
Yeah. Have to. And Iowa's playing well and winning. So
yeah, Samford.
They need wins, too, to have a chance at the tournament.
Samford is having a great season, and this Owen Freeman character, I think he's going to be another one of those Iowa guys that is averaging like 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists in like 2 years, which he is maybe next year, actually, if we're really thinking about it. Big spot for the Illini defense here. Got to figure some things out. Iowa started 1-3 in the Big Ten. They've won 5 of 7. They won at Michigan State on Tuesday pretty decisively as well. That wasn't really that close of a game. They put them away, unlike what Illinois was doing against Michigan State.
Yeah, you know what they did? They made free throws down the stretch. Yeah,
there you go. That'll help. And then they beat Wisconsin in overtime at home on Saturday, 17th. So we'll see. I mean, I can tell you right now, Iowa's not even close to, like, being within that next 4-out range. Or the first 4-out range. They're not close to that.
Yeah. They got a lot more winning to do. So. I was going to put this Brad stuff in, but we already talked about it a little bit. Again, he didn't watch film. The guys knew what they needed to do, and they had a, quote, Brad Underwood practice yesterday. And then he said that he was going to start taking playing time away from guys that can't play defense, and that they only made subtle changes to their defense. They didn't scrap it because it was really good earlier in the year. So don't expect much change. I wonder what the subtle changes are. That's interesting. I mean, you're either switching or you're not switching, but guys have gotten lost in that five-way switching more than not. And I wish that we could get away with it. Just see you later. Get out of here. I don't know what just happened to the comments, but. Wade, Brad said one or two guys aren't playing hard enough on defense and making mistakes. Didn't say who. I know for a fact Harmon got back cut repeatedly, though.
Can't be talking about Goody here, I wouldn't think.
I would think maybe Harmon, but I don't know. I don't know who the other one would be.
Good. You can't say Goody's not playing hard.
Yeah. Unless it's Quincy. And maybe he just said one or two guys. So he wasn't, I'm pretty sure he was pissed off at everybody. So, I mean, he wasn't mad at Shannon because he said something about Shannon being fantastic defensively. So, do you think they should run with Iowa or pace the game?
Run with Iowa because they'll score every single time they do. So, yeah. I mean, who on Iowa is going to stop Illinois in transition? Probably nobody.
Yeah.
Shannon might have 50 in this game.
Eric, it's going to be a tough game. It's a must win. I feel like it's more of a must win for Iowa than Illinois, but they need to jump the screens instead of playing back. They're not going to – I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, what can you do? Iowa projected lineup. They got Tony Perkins, who had 32 against Illinois last year, 6'4", 205 senior, averages 15.2 points per game, 4.2 assists per game as well. They got guard Josh Dix, a 6'5", 200 sophomore, shoots at 42.3% from three, had 17 in their win on Saturday over Wisconsin. Also, by the way, bench minutes, 164, 31.9%. So they do have something off the bench. Illinois in that category is 31.5%, so just behind them, 171st in the country. Sanford, Peyton Sanford, 6'7", 215 junior, averaging 15.5 points per game, 22 points against Michigan State. Honestly, I would have expected him to be averaging more than 15.5, but Perkins averaging 15.2, and then the other two that I'm about to mention are averaging what they're averaging. I guess it makes more sense, or else Iowa would be like a top three offense in the country. So,
yeah,
which this offense for Iowa is very good, but they're not, you know, quite as good as they've been. Owen Freeman at the four, freshman, 6'10, 230, 11 points per game, 6.4 rebounds, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists against Wisconsin. He only played 8 minutes against Michigan State. I don't know what happened there. I didn't even really watch. Like, I had the game on, but I wasn't really paying attention. So, he played 8 minutes and shot 3 for 3 from the field against Michigan State. So, he's good. Another Iowa white. Then they got forward Ben Creek A. Creek A. 6'9", 245. I haven't watched one Iowa game this year with the volume on, so I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name.
I think it's
Crikey. And I didn't watch Valpo last year either.
And we're Crikey.
6'9", 245. Another transfer from the Missouri Valley. So interesting stuff there. There's many in the Big Ten. 6'9", 245 senior, 14.2 points per game, 5 rebounds at 18-14 against Michigan State. So they got a lot of guys who are averaging a lot of points.
Lightning's weird. Eric says, let's hope Tony Perkins doesn't go off for 30 again. I don't think so. Do you think Tony Perkins harasses the crap out of Damask bringing the ball up the whole game?
Definitely, yeah. And hopefully they won't have Damask bring it up every time.
Jay says, got to beat down the Hawks. I live in Iowa, so I'm surrounded by these idiots. At least you don't live in Illinois. Never mind. Quackle says, heading down to Champaign for the game. My favorite matchup every year. Have fun, Quackle. I haven't made it to a game in Champaign this year, which is very unusual.
You want to go?
No, not really.
What about the other home game? Minnesota on Wednesday.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Wade, I usually get over losses the next day, but I'm still livid about this one for some reason. Worst loss in a very long time. Let's hope it's a wake-up call. Yeah, I think the manner of losing definitely hurts more. Perkins hasn't scored 30 this year. Let's continue that streak.
I wonder how many times he's scored 20 this year.
Jeffrey, what I mean, one guy sits back, the other guy fights around. The guy sitting back has to cut off the direction of the ball and force the ball back. Yeah, Illinois just is not – they don't hedge screens. They don't fight through them. Brad Underwood's defense is
– he scored 20 points 8 times.
Butzilla says go to the Purdue game.
I have zero interest in that.
He might
zero.
I could see you just start cussing out people at State Farm Center.
I'm like Dan Hurley. I wish Brad had that fight.
All right.
KenPom numbers. Illinois in adjusted offensive efficiency is 5th at 123.4. Iowa's 12th at 120. Defensive efficiency, Illinois 59th at 100 flat, and Iowa's 157th at 105.7. Two-point percentage, Illinois 38th in the country at 54.4, Iowa's 48th at 54. Three-point percentage, Illinois 149th, 34.4%, Iowa's 191st, 33.5%, and free throw shooting, free throw percentage, Illinois 97th at 73.8, and Iowa's 16th at 77.8. Assists per field goals made, Illinois is 292nd in the country at 45%, and Iowa's 46th at 57.5%. And then experience, Illinois is 11th at an average 3.07 years of D1 experience, and Iowa's 159th at 1.96 years. So This is going to be the first time in a while where Illinois has been better in two-point percentage and three-point percentage over Iowa.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking to me. But
the little details like passing and making free throws, Iowa's obviously better at.
Eric says, go to the game against Skinny. I mean, Mini. Bootsilla said you'd get kicked out of the Purdue game and that he likes Skinny better, Skinnesota. Imbrot's afraid a lot of Iowa's stats were when they were really bad and weren't playing them. I don't know what that means, Imbrots. Can you read that for me?
No.
Hinkle says Penn State, Michigan State, and Nebraska are all R1 caliber teams we're likely to face. Scary how much we've struggled against these teams.
Michigan State is so much better than any 12 or 13 seed Illinois is going to play. Come on.
McNeese.
Freeman. Michigan State beat McNeese, didn't they? Or they? No, they beat Indiana State.
Freeman going to give Hawkins all he can handle inside. Hinkle says, for some reason, I continue to believe this team plays its best basketball on neutral courts. Might be biased post Mizzou and FAU games.
Missouri sucks, but that is true. They did play well. What are they averaging? 90? What's if you scored 90? Okay, hang on.
You going to do math right now?
Hang on.
Hold.
Illinois averages 97.5. I did that in my head, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't wrong. 97.5 points per game on neutral courts.
It's pretty good.
But they also allow like 80 because they gave up 89 against FAU and then 75 against Missouri or something? 73?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, Michigan State's definitely way better than any 12 or 13 Illinois would play. Nebraska is probably better, but I could be convinced. And then Penn State, I don't know. Penn State has probably better perimeter players than any other, maybe outside of McNeese that they would play. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Penn State thing, it feels like you could use it as a one-off just because of some of the crazy things that happened down the stretch, plus the whole playing in the rec hall thing and weird things happen in those places. And Illinois, can you really say Illinois struggled? I guess. Whatever. They did lose. I don't know. They scored 89 points and it looked pretty easy on offense. I don't know if struggle is the right way.
They just didn't close.
They also beat Michigan State. They also beat Michigan State and they beat Nebraska. So, like, we can't pretend like they're losing to these teams. I know they lost to Michigan State. So they are 3-2 against those three teams. Or no, they're 2-3 against those. No. 2-2 against those three
teams. Flip of the coin if they'll get out of round one is what you're telling me.
They'll get out of round one. Can I just – let's lock that in, folks. Lock.
Lock it in.
They will win in the first round this year.
Players to watch. I went with Coleman Hawkins. Like I said,
why is nobody watching this?
Watching what? This?
We have 19 viewers. What the hell is this? Let's get it going a little
bit. You probably scared them all off after your rant. I haven't even done anything. The game. After the last thing.
Yeah.
Coleman, like I said, coming off probably his worst game of the season. He's got to clean things up, and he's got to find a way to stop Iowa's bigs. I mean, between Creaky and Freeman, can Coleman stop either one of them? I'm not really sure. Creaky had 18 points, 14 rebounds against Michigan State, like you said. So, kind of worried about that. Jeffrey thinks that he's going to foul out early, I think he said, or he's going to get in foul trouble early. So, I'm worried about Coleman right now. Danger time.
No.
I went with Peyton Stanford for Iowa. We've seen a lot of Peyton over the last few years. Can't let him get hot from three. Keep him off the line. Shut him down.
So. You could have just said, I'll go with season 4 Woody Harrelson from Cheers for Iowa. Shoots it well. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess season 4 Cheers would equal 1986. Nicholas Colasanto died, and then Woody Harrelson came in. So Woody Harrelson in Cheers season 4 is who Iowa's best player is. That's your player to watch. I'm going Quincy Guerrier because he's got to do something, right? Quincy's got to make 2 threes in this game. He's got to play 20 minutes. And then Owen Freeman's guy, he might be guarding early, so we'll see how that matchup goes. Yeah. Owen Freeman's either going to barely play and be really efficient or play and not be as efficient but have like 15 points and 10 rebounds and 5 assists or something. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Are you going to break something if Illinois loses this game?
What?
Okay. Imbrot said, we played Marquette in the second round if dreams come true. Bootsilla, we're watching, Ethan. How dare you dismiss us loyal viewers?
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same 20 guys every time.
This is Peyton Sanford. I can't get it bigger. Hold on.
Jeffrey said they're getting their points, but it's not pretty. If it wasn't for the Shannon freight train, these games might not have been as good.
I think the team is probably playing a little differently like they were when Shannon wasn't there.
Yeah, they played fine without Shannon. What are you guys talking about?
4-2 without Shannon. Beat Northwestern by 30 without Shannon.
Dane going to get 30-plus minutes tomorrow.
Jesus, that's delusion.
Lane 9.5 is insane.
There you go. Peyton Sanford, Iowa. Season 4, Woody Harrelson Cheers is that. There you go.
What's Illinois' three-point shooting the last 5 games? That's a numbers guy question. Butzel says Woody from White Man Can't Jump is a better comp. I agree. I was going to say that, but
that movie is so overrated. It's crazy.
Wow.
Let me comp Woody in the best thing he ever did, which was seasons 4 through 11 of Cheers. Like, give me a break. If you think Woody's had a better early role or pre 2010s role or whatever, I mean, give me a break. Are you kidding me? Come on, give me a break. Can I have a break? I'd like a break. Break me.
How many minutes a game did Dane average last year?
Wasn't it like 8 or 9, I want to say? Maybe a little bit more.
Right. I can probably find that while you're doing math over there.
Doing math that I completely forgot how to do quickly.
Let's see. Dane Danger. Is he still on the team?
Is he?
Dane averaged 20 minutes per game last year.
I can see it. Sure. That is why we sucked.
This can't be right.
I thought it was like 15 or 9.
This says he's averaging 9 this year. Averaged 20 points or 20 minutes, 9.5 points a game last year. This year, 9 minutes, 5.5 points per game.
All right, I did the math on 3-point shooting.
Crazy.
Illinois is 46 for 133 from 3 in the last 5 games. That's 34.5%, which I think is pretty much their exact average of the season. Also, I mean, they were 9 of 34 against Nebraska, so that's going to take the percentage. 9 of 24 against Penn State, and then 5 of 20 in the game before Penn State, which would have been what? Maryland. So, yeah, 34.5%. Perfectly fine. By the way, they shoot the same amount of threes like every game. 24, 20, 25, 30, 34. I mean, that's all exact range every time.
You weren't even born when Cheers was on.
What does that matter? What does that matter, Jeffrey? I've watched it a billion times.
Imbrot says Dane will be playing when Coleman gets 3,005 minutes. If Coleman gets 3,005 minutes, he might get kicked out of the game.
I think the older people in this country, the older generation, should appreciate when somebody who was born in 1999, you know, name drops the type of stuff that I name drop, such as a Cheers.
Like, how many people my age is 9? I'm looking at it right now, Brot.
He played a lot in the non-conference last year and this year, so that's going to inflate the numbers a little bit.
Hinkle said, did you guys give your picks yet? No, here you go. Oh, wrong one. I got Illinois winning 95-87. They're going to have to outshoot Iowa because their defense is absolute trash. There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to go 88-80, but I could see Illinois holding Iowa lower than this because I think Illinois' defense is going to show up in this game. Kill me. Kill me for believing. Sue me.
Woody was a secondary character on Cheers. He was a co-lead in White Man Can't Jump. Iconic role for him.
Here's the problem with White Man Can't Jump in that movie. That's the type of movie where if you watched it when it came out or you watched it like when you were younger, you were like, oh, this movie is so sick. And then you go back and watch it now and you're like, this movie sucks.
That's Ethan's cultured, guys.
I feel the exact same way about Roadhouse, by the way.
Ethan's like a 24-year-old and a 64-year-old body. So
64, Jesus.
Eric says, Illini 82, Iowa 80. Yeah, 64, like the average age of our viewers. Wade says, Cheers was great. Norm and Cliff were hilarious.
Yeah, that's right. You ever seen Cheers?
Why are we getting on? Yeah, when I was a child.
Okay.
My parents had it on in the background.
Let me see. Around
the Big Ten.
These games in Champaign are always close against Iowa, by the way. 78-76 in 2020. 80-75 in 2021. 74-72 in 2022. Didn't play in Champaign last year. So.
Hinkle says double-digit win for Iowa or Illinois?
Probably for Iowa.
In Bratz, we definitely had better shows for TV. My daughter watches all shows. When I was a kid, she's 32.
He just aged himself. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt.
Our average age 64.
I mean, when you were younger, though, there were some good TV shows.
Yeah, I watched, Doug.
All right, we'll do this after the Around the Big Ten. Purdue beats Rutgers last night, 96-60. I was kind of surprised how big of a blowout this was, but obviously Purdue coming off of a loss. Rutgers is not a very good team anyway, but you look at the history of, Pike against Painter, it's usually a lot closer, or it's a Rutgers win. Edie had 25-7 on, I believe, 7 of 8 shooting from the field and 11 of 11. He has these games where he just makes every free throw. And there's other games where he misses 5 or 6. It's really something. And this Camden Hyde freshman, I mean, Jesus, comes in as 18 points on 7 of 7 shooting in 19 minutes. So
I think it's Heidi.
I don't give a damn what it is. He's going to be.
You correct me on everything. I can do it once. Calm down.
No, you can't, actually. yeah, he's going to be the next Mason Gillis, I would think. I mean, he's shooting at 51% from three this year, 15 of 29. So there's another Purdue stud for you. He's done it again. Painter's done it again. Northwestern beats up a mangled Michigan team. This Michigan team had what? No, Kumwa, he's out for the season, right? Cheddar was out. No Doug from the TV show.
He spells it different. It's also a cartoon.
Is there anybody named D-U-G other than Doug McDaniel?
There has to be. It's America.
So their lineup last night was Jalen Llewellyn, Namari Burnett, Terrence Williams, Terrace Reed, and Trey Jackson. That's brutal. There's a reason they're 3-10 in the conference. But they held pretty strong. I mean, they were down 37-34 at the half, only down 3.
And I saw they shot really good from 3 that game.
8 of 11, yeah, 73% from deep.
Still couldn't cover. Ouch.
Yeah. They're 0-19 against the spread this year. on the road, I guess, would be the stat. I don't know, whatever. Or 0-19, their last 19 against the spread, something like that. They basically haven't covered since the Bush administration. No, they haven't covered since the 8+19. They haven't covered from December 5th to now. They haven't covered a game, I believe, is the stat. Indiana game. They must have been favorites at home against Indiana, lost by 3. That's where it started. Okay, that can't be right. In a loss. No, they haven't covered. They're 0-19 against the spread in losses is what it is, actually. Sorry. So they're 8-19, and they haven't covered the spread in any of their 19 losses.
Okay.
There we go. We're back. Back on track. Let me sidetrack everybody with some Northwestern stuff here. Boo Booey becomes Northwestern's all-time leading scorer. John Scherna had it and did it in 4 years. Now, let me tell you, John Scherna is a guy that I remember watching when I was young because that was like Northwestern's not that good. They're kind of, you know, they're whatever, but they got this white guy, Scherna, who's like disgusting, and he was sick. So, I mean, they were okay teams. They weren't like tournament teams, but they were like bubble, like they would go, how many Big Ten games were there back then? 18, I guess. 18. Before. they were going like 7-11, and they were like, you know, but Scherna was sick, and I didn't even realize. Like, I remember when I saw that he passed Scherna for the all-time leading scorer, I was like, his numbers have to be amazing. In his last 2 years, 2011, he averaged 16.6 points per game, 5 rebounds, 2.6 assists on 52-43-70 splits. And then the next year goes 20 points per game, 5.4 rebounds, 2.8 assists on 48-44-75 splits. Disgusting. John Scherna. He was like that Big Ten era of like Hummel, and then college basketball as a whole, you had Kyle Singler, Duke. Era of cold-ass white boys, and we're right back in that era now. All these white players that we all hate. And there's a ton of them this year. We happen to have one, Marcus Domask, as Field of 68 calls him, even though his name is clearly Damask. How many times do we have to do that? If a player is averaging 10-plus points per game, you better learn how to pronounce his fucking name.
Okay. Wow.
Sorry. Wildcats now 10-6 in the Big Ten, so Illinois would be tied with Northwestern if they lose this game. Is the top four seed in the Big Ten tournament jeopardy? People are asking.
There's moving that way, that's for sure.
Can I go all the way back to earlier when Hinkle said that Illinois struggled against Northwestern? They fucking lost them by 5 on the road in overtime, and Boo Booey made every shot for the last 30 minutes of the game, and they beat him by 30 without Shannon. How the fuck did they struggle against Northwestern, Hinkle? Jesus Christ, figure it out. Anyway, moving right along. Where are we at? Indiana at Penn State, the only Big Ten game tomorrow. Indiana at Penn State, 11 a.m. on Big Ten Network. So get the Big Ten out of the way. I meant to say outside of Illinois because Illinois does play tomorrow.
I was going to say what?
Sunday, the Big Ten owns Sunday. You got Maryland at Rutgers, 11 a.m. Big Ten Network. You got Purdue at Michigan, 1 p.m. CBS. Somehow Ohio State, Michigan State, 3 p.m. on CBS. That makes no sense to me. The Minnesota, Nebraska, 5:30 p.m. Big Ten Network. That's the Big Ten Sunday.
Okay.
Lunardi. I just like putting Lunardi in here because like everybody, like I heard Mark Titus making this point on some other show saying something about how coaches always bring up Lunardi when they're complaining about bracketology. It's always Lunardi, which he's like the 38th best bracketologist or something, right. 130th. I mean, he sucks either way. He's always on ESPN, so he's front and center. So I decided to put him in there. Plus, he updated today. On the Big Ten, he's got 6 bids, second behind the Big 12 with 9, and the SEC has 8, tied with the Mountain West. With the Mountain West, I love watching the Mountain West, but I think we all need to calm down. These Mountain West fans are going a little too far. Just saying.
Are they?
It's a great conference to watch.
But really paid attention to their fans. But.
Well, I just think that they have this, like, nobody ever gives respect to the Mountain West. Oh, it took San Diego State getting to a national championship. It's like, okay. We all enjoy watching it. Relax. You also haven't had tournament success at all until last year. So Purdue's the number one overall seed, according to Lunardi, in the Midwest. Northwestern's a 10 seed in the Midwest, facing 7 seed Washington State. Northwestern the last 4 bye. So being 10-6 in the Big Ten with a non-conference loss to Chicago State, but also having wins over Illinois and Purdue – apparently leads to a last 4 bye right now, which is kind of crazy, but whatever. Washington State, though, that's a tough matchup. That's Northwestern being like, hey, we got to play Boise State in the first round last year, another Mountain West fraud, and we got an easy tournament win. This year, if they play Washington State, that might be trouble. Now, I will say, I like Washington State a lot. They are somehow first in the Pac-12 right now, which is crazy. They've beaten Arizona twice.
They won last night. I fell asleep watching the game.
Yeah. Well, I said they've beaten Arizona twice, so yeah. They're first in the conference, though. Really good team. Kyle Smith, head coach, no respect. He's like Rodney Dangerfield, no respect. Well,
it's because his name's Kyle Smith. That's just too
– is that even his name? I might have even gotten that wrong there. I mean,
that sounds like the most normie name I've ever heard.
It is Kyle. He's a guy who's won everywhere, though. Let's think about that. He won 20 games six seasons at Columbia.
Wow.
Columbia. That's, you know, They didn't make the tournament in 2016 when they should have, but and then he won 20 plus 3 years in a row at San Francisco. So he can win. He's probably going to get a Big Ten job. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the Big Ten next year. Really? Where am I at? Wisconsin, 5 seed in the West, playing Richmond. Don't tell that to Iowa. Iowa lost to Richmond in 2022 as a 5 seed. And then Nebraska, 10 seed in the West, taking on number 7, Florida. Last 4 byes is where Nebraska is. By the way, this has Nebraska playing in Omaha, which is like crazy to me. Kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
But I also saw Creighton fans complaining, oh, we can't play. No, you can't play in Omaha because that's where you are, you idiots. God, I don't want to give anybody from Nebraska any credit because they're all dumb as shit. But Jesus, these Creighton fans, idiots. Illinois 4 seed in the South taking on 13 seed. Drum roll.
Akron.
Shocker. Everybody's got Akron. I'd rather play Akron. I'd rather play Akron than McNeese State. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I think Lenardi's probably the only guy that has Illinois still on the 4 line. I've seen a lot of 5 line Illinois playing McNeese. So,
but
Lenardi apparently thinks
I'm hoping that McNeese is one of those teams we're all really scared of, but then they end up just losing in the first round. Kind of like who was that team last year that everybody was thinking about? Hang on, hold.
You have to erase that thing soon.
I know. I tried to erase UConn, the championship thing earlier. It did not go. The 5 seed last year, or the 12 seed last year, everybody was scared about, I believe, was Kent State against Indiana, right? Or it might have been Charleston or Kent State. It's always a 12 seed. Everybody's scared of them. They both lose. But the 5 seeds went 4-0 last year.
Yeah.
13 seeds can be even scarier because you look at last year, Furman beating Virginia. Virginia, a bit of a fraud anyway. and then, or no, Drake was a 12 seed last year. So Drake and I'm so lost.
Me too.
I don't even know what I'm – yeah. Drake and Charleston, I guess, would be the ones. Yeah, Drake and Charleston. So there you go. But hopefully McNeese ends up being that – like McNeese is really, really good, but they're also like – they're in one of the 5 worst conferences in the country.
Yeah.
And they're so much better than everybody else. So that's the thing. So probably 6 worst. 6
take
worst.
You get – Hinkle said feed me Akron.
I'm trying to look at Akron's profile here. Much better defensively from an efficiency perspective as opposed to other teams in their conference. And, you know, 69th, very nice defensive efficiency number. 30.5% they allow their opponents from 3, so they apparently guard the 3 pretty well. This NHL animation right next to me is just pissing me off, just making my screen go everywhere. Anyway, Akron doesn't shoot it very well from 3, 227th. They're very experienced. They're old. They're smaller, though. A nice little mid-major team, sure.
Mm.
I don't think Illinois would have any trouble with them, but the risk of losing to John Gross in the first round is brutal. I don't want to deal with that.
Don't want to do that.
And you look at the last time Illinois was on the 4 or 5 line, it was a Chattanooga game where Illinois played absolutely horrendous basketball and came away with a win. So hopefully you can get away with that. But I think this team is less likely to do that. So being on the 4, 5, or 6 line is much better than the 8 or the 9 line like last year. By the way, this team last year through 25 games was 17-8, so 19-7 now. So they're already 2 wins ahead of that pace. Bracket Matrix, yeah. Bracket Matrix also ranks all of the bracketologists. So you see that Lenardi is I'm going to have to do a screen search to find him. He's 98th over the last 5 years in average for bracketology. 98th out of 174.
Yeah.
There are a lot of inactive guys on here, though. Number 1 is Bracketometry by our guy Dom. Bracket Dom. It's been hot 4 years in a row of being good. Bowertology is the one that I've been printing because he's got the best setup from a graphics perspective. Bowertology. He's 6th in Bracketology, so shout out to him. What was I going to say next? Then you have Michigan State, 7 seed, South Region. Michigan State, Virginia as a 7-10 matchup would be interesting, although – I don't think Virginia would have any chance at all in that game. I think that would probably be like a 78-45 game.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Virginia just can't score it. They can't score the basketball. It's tough. They can't score it, but when they do, they get a lot of assists and they shoot a high percentage from 3. But they're horrendous in a lot of other categories. no worse example than the last two games. They have scored what? 90 points in the last two games? 40, 49 and 41? Crazy.
Not good.
They got North Carolina tomorrow, so we'll see. They got North Carolina and Duke the next two Saturdays.
Wow.
Virginia could very well be playing in Dayton on Tuesday or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Big Ten, six bids. I mean, look, whatever, you know. Still got to see what Iowa does.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is going to not get any more than six. Because if Iowa gets in, Nebraska's probably not going to get right. I feel like that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see him getting over six.
The one thing that Nebraska and Northwestern have going for them is Nebraska has a Purdue win and a Wisconsin win. Northwestern has a Purdue win and an Illinois win. Did Northwestern beat Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Nope, they lost to him by eight. They also have a Michigan State. Northwestern has a Michigan State win as well. And a pretty favorable schedule to finish. They got Maryland, Iowa, Michigan State, Minnesota. Nebraska has Minnesota, Ohio State, Rutgers, Michigan. So both of those teams are in a great spot to get in. And you know what? I think it would be great if we got to see Nebraska ball in the you could see Tominaga in March. People are going to be like, well, who the hell is this kid?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to go through these? I still feel like this team has what
it takes
to be in the tournament. I don't want to.
All right, go ahead.
You want to move that thing off there? Hold on. Wait a second.
I got it. I had it the whole time.
All right. As always, we want to thank Alamo Steakhouse and Saloon at 700 East Broadway Avenue in Mattoon, Illinois. You can find them online at www.alamo-steakhouse.com. Friday is Louisiana gumbo on special. Saturday is New York strip with a Creole cream sauce. I don't know if it's Mardi Gras or what. When is Mardi Gras? This weekend? Anyways, yeah, go check them out. February specials have five more days. So if you guys would like to be a sponsor for our episodes or our watch parties, please reach out to us on Twitter or email us at IlliniBasketballPodcast@gmail.com. If you can, like, subscribe. I don't know how many subs we're at, but we're getting to 500. We're getting close. So we appreciate you guys all hanging out with us and telling us what you think about this Illinois team.
All right. I guess we can read the comments now. Jeez. Where are we
at? I don't know. Way up here. Doug from the movie Up something. Bootzilla's being silly. Jeffrey says, Ethan, if you want to watch some good NBA ball, go watch the Lakers and Celtics play the championship games. That was ball.
Nobody tries to drive the Larry Bird was great bus harder than me. I cannot believe there are people out there that get paid to talk about basketball or played basketball in the NBA that don't view Larry Bird as one of the best ever, because he absolutely is. And I think it's insane to think otherwise. Like, I can't even fathom being that fucking stupid to think that, honestly. Like, Larry Bird, I would say, is top six, seven all time. I don't care. I mean, you have Jordan, you have LeBron. God knows Kobe's overrated. He's great. He's top five or six for sure, but overrated, please. Anybody thinks LeBron is not better than Kobe, give me a break. And then you obviously have, a lot of other options, whether it's Kareem or Magic or Olajuwon, Bird is obviously in that mix. But I think it's insane. It's unfathomable is a word. You can't even compartmentalize that thought. I said Magic, Jeffrey, relax.
Wade says, I love it when Ethan loses his shit. Yeah, you guys are the reason he does it. So thanks for that. Watch party tomorrow. No, I got to work. Jay, I don't think I'll be back in time for it. Ethan said that we might do one Wednesday. If we don't end up at the game, who knows?
I think we should probably just do a watch party. It's up to you.
Yeah, we probably will do a watch party. Upset of the week, Wake Forest over Duke.
By the way, I hit Clemson losing to NC State last week, and you were just trying to tell me it wasn't an upset, which is literally insane. Care. It was a road game in college basketball. It was a NC State, from a metrics perspective, is not even close to as good as Clemson. So from a tournament perspective either. So NC State last week, I nailed that one. Also, Ohio State over Purdue, nailed it. Also, Creighton over UConn, nailed it. Can't miss.
Are you okay?
Well, I'm just doing nothing but getting everything right. And then just people are just like, you know, not even acknowledging.
By people, you mean me.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Jeffrey says Nevada's a dark horse also. What's your upset this week? Give me Texas A&M over Tennessee. Sure, why not? Gross team, bad at offense, surprise, surprise. Hinkle says get Brad Evans for your March Madness preview on your other show. That's Ethan's job. Brad, if you want to take my spot, you can.
Thanks.
Jay, the tournament loves giving matchups by location or ex-coach relationship or past matchup history.
Correct. Every time we bring up the Countdown to March Madness podcast, you just throw yourself off of a building and you don't want to do it, which is fine. It's toned down this year too.
Bootzilla, upset pick, mine St. John's over Creighton. Thanks for coming out, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Give me
Don't Leave Out Magic. Tim Duncan.
Duncan overrated.
Magic was my man. Patrick Ewing. Can't coach.
No, can't win either. Would it be crazy to say Villanova over UConn? Yes, because UConn's
going to win. That would be crazy. Yeah.
I'm not doing that. Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Give me Wake Forest over Duke. Is that an upset? Somebody already said that?
The same one he just picked.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I'm not going to take them. I really want to be right. I got a streak to uphold. Give me Texas over Kansas.
Okay.
At Allen Fieldhouse. Cool. Yeah. That's why cool. Not?
Duncan's overrated. Wow.
Yeah, overrated.
I think he's disagreeing. If we drop to a 5 seed, what region would you put us in? Just a question. They'd be the number one 5 seed. I don't know how that works though.
Probably throw them in the Midwest, or I guess if Purdue's there, probably throw them in the East.
Jay says you're on fire with these upsets. He's taking what he's saying.
That's right.
Yeah, but he just threw that one out there. I don't know. Don't bet Texas. Seems like a bad play.
Texas over Kansas. Easy pick. Absolute money. Kansas is due to lose a really weird game at Allen Fieldhouse. Remember that TCU game a month ago? They had that game lost fully and then ended up winning because of the refs. So why not? Texas needs a signature win like this. Give me the Longhorns. I think you're going to see overwhelming guard play from Max Asemus and Tyrese Hunter for the for the Longhorns of Texas. So, yeah, all right. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back, Tuesday maybe, Sunday, Wednesday, Tuesday. I don't know. Sometime in the near future, we'll be back for 202.
Yeah.
But hopefully Illinois wins. I don't want to have to do like a video on Twitter about this game that goes 5 minutes and I'm just mad and annoyed. So
did anybody watch that?
Not really. No, I think I posted it too late.
Okay.
Only got like 800 like tweet views.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get over 1,000 there, but that's all right. You know, what can you do? We'll be back. We'll see everybody next time. Thanks for joining. Goodbye.